everybody, welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the Podcast.
The only podcast where you can hear the dog whistles.
You can, and they're all coming from you, pal. Okay, so my name's Glenn.
My name's Harge.
And this is my co-host, Harge. Just Harge. So welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. Happy to be here this week, because we got some really, really engaging, intriguing, mystery-like stuff to talk about. And
it's a wide world full of a lot of weirdness.
It is. It is, very much so.
In strange spots.
But we got some good weather, finally. Mm-hmm. It's like good weather. It's hot.
I mean, it's not quite hot enough for me.
No?
No, with this dusky complexion, I need it to hit at least 35. Yeah,
you're sweating right now.
That's not sweat.
What is it?
That's just butter chicken grease.
Oh. but yeah, I mean, you must have been enjoying yourself. Because when I finally got a hold of you the other day, because you would not return my calls or texts, and what did you respond with? Sorry,
I'm on a boat.
I was on my boat.
Yes,
we live entirely opposite lives.
We do, in that I have some money and you don't.
Yeah, pretty much. Then how does that work? I have three jobs.
I have zero jobs right now, but
You're out on your boat. Nice.
But I'll tell you, buying a boat is the dumbest thing you can do. Never buy a boat.
I heard they're a money pit.
They're also, I hate driving the boat in town. It's annoying. It's anxiety inducing, especially if you don't do it all the time.
Oh, towing
the boat and then backing it up, especially at a very, very busy dock. That's stressful. I can get good at it, but the first couple times are always rough, and everyone's sitting there watching, and white people are out there boating all the time, so they know what they're doing.
May I just say that, with the problems you just described to me, my heart pumps purple piss for you.
Okay, but one thing I did learn on this boat is if you ever need to scout locations, bridge pillars, monuments for planting incendiary devices. Fucking boat. I swear to God, you could go to Canada Place, strap some fucking munitions underneath that thing, and blow that thing up, and there's no one there watching you, and there's no one there to fucking
stop you. Sure there's
you.
No cameras?
It only takes a couple minutes.
We don't have, that kind of worry in Vancouver.
No.
We don't have. Apparently Alberta does. They just, we can talk about this more next time. After a 7-year investigation, they have now nailed a ISIS terrorist fighter. He went over to Syria like 7 years ago and did some stuff for them and came back. And you know what? The whole time he's been in this country, he's been just going to work.
Is that
and being a dad and paying his taxes, the son of a bitch.
Now that's really interesting, because I think you could leave this country to go and fight for ISIS and come back and be put in chains. But you could also leave this country. You could also leave this country and go and fight for Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
Who was fighting against ISIS and Bashar and not face any repercussions whatsoever.
But you gotta know that he went through Canada Customs.
Okay.
Purpose of your trip, ISIS.
Well, there's a lot of brown custom agents.
You bringing any fruits or meat that you shouldn't be? That was probably their reaction. And it took the RCMP 7 years. This guy hasn't even done it. He hasn't even, blown anything up.
Yeah.
But it's just we got nothing better to do but harass this guy. Apparently not. Anyways, this is really important. I'm already like way off in the boonies here in the sticks. This is very important, Harge. So I'm looking at our podcast host site, Podbean, and of course,
I'm just going to text the prison guard downstairs. Tell him to get the kids to shut up.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Cattle prods. That's what I use at home.
We use that. We also use chemical sedatives.
Okay.
You're saying you were checking up on who's listening to this podcast.
So this is they give you I don't often look at the stats because I already know nobody listens to us. But today I did. And one of the things it does is it breaks down. It's got a cool little map graphic, and it highlights in different colors where your listeners are from.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of our listeners are from Canada.
Yeah.
So
we got three from Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then some from the U.S., which are probably like my friends in Seattle.
Yeah. And my friends in Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have one, listen to this, are you ready? We have one listener in Chile.
Ooh,
as
spicy.
In South America.
Muy caliente.
That little skinny country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Down at the very bottom tip.
Yeah.
Who the hell, it doesn't tell you who they are.
Famed Nazi hiding spot. Site of CIA government coups.
Mm-hmm.
Augusto Pinochet came into power there. Death squads, beautiful place.
So this could be any number of things. Here's a couple of scenarios I'm going to throw out there. So this could be an ex-Nazi.
Ooh, that would be... That'd probably be number one on my list of... on my wish list.
This could be somebody in WITSEC. In the witness protection program.
Yeah.
Or this could be somebody in Chile on a Saturday night who at this point is running out of things to do because of COVID-19 lockdown, really drunk, and decided to follow our podcast, even though it's in English.
Probably high on cocaine, too.
Yeah. His cat could have just walked across his phone.
Yeah, I have another theory, and that is that this individual is a big fan of the movie Titanic.
Really?
And when they saw the words Wallace Hartley,
right.
They're in deep, neck deep in the Titanic.
Right.
Lore.
Muy bueno, yeah, Wallace.
Exactly. Yeah, the violin player.
Titanic.
Yeah, so this is what he's been waiting for his entire life, a Titanic-centered podcast.
I'm very sorry to disappoint him.
I'm sorry.
Carlos.
That's racist.
It's not.
It isn't?
What? A guy, he couldn't have the name Carlos?
No, his name's Fernando.
Anyways, shout out to whoever. We don't even know it's a male. Could be a female.
It also could be a not male or not female, Glenn.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay, so either way, a big shout out to our one listener.
To our one person.
In Chile. We don't even know where in Chile.
We hear you,
Chile's
although
a big
we can't
country.
Hear you. And we see you. And we want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we're covering today. Pretty excited about all this stuff. We have some COVID-19 updates.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to talk about how people are not social distancing at Third Beach in Stanley Park. Chinese military, the Chi-Coms. Got a secret training base on Salt Spring Island.
Sure.
That's, dude, it's just over there.
What you have you were the pro-China guy when we started this 7-8 episodes ago. And
I'm not pro or con.
What are you talking about? You were always everyone is anti-China. And now you're talking about the Chinese military running secret bases?
When they start doing shit like this in our own backyard. And then we're going to talk about Canada's. So with all this stuff going on, with the Confederate monuments tearing down into these statues all over America, a lot of protests and things going on. Did you know Canada has like not just one or two, a few monuments to Nazis?
Now, I was totally unaware of this. I knew that there was a certain amount of Nazi sympathy in Canada and certain ethnic communities.
It goes beyond that. These are like monuments, big, marble shit. Who knew? And then finally, we're going to talk about, speaking of Nazis, Trump's very own Waffen SS. with all the... He's just sending his troops in, his little stormtroopers into Portland.
Speaking of my boy, Donnie Shinsplints.
Yeah, whatever.
I received a Proton email from Modi last week.
Yeah,
very disappointed that I didn't wear the shirt he sent me. So his wife talked to my wife. They all hashed it out. And
I'm wearing the shirt.
It's the polite thing to do. It says,
Hindus for Trump.
Hindus for Trump.
Where did you get that?
Interestingly enough, it was made by a Jew. And I lie you not.
How do you know that?
Because I know the man who made it.
Really? Why did he make it?
Because he's Modi's haberdasher.
No. That's just bizarre.
It's a fun shirt.
It is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I once wore this to an AA meeting.
Did you really?
In North Van? No, West Van.
Oh, really?
People liked it.
They're drunks. What do you expect?
But they're not drunk.
No, they're not drunks, but they are drunks.
At that time. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I am one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I wish I'd been there that night. That would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
That's some crazy shit. So,
One community, it's surprising. I mean, you would think you'd get away with it maybe in a more easterly community, inland.
Yeah.
Rednecks, as you call them.
Yeah.
But apparently you can also get away with it at the height of high society.
Really?
Yeah, in West Van, when no one's looking.
You wore that
purely
in
anonymous.
West Van?
Yeah, I wore it at a meeting in West Van, as I said.
Oh, West Van. Oh,
West Van.
Yeah, but again, drunks. Yeah. They're probably not from West Van. Was it kind of a hoity-toity meeting?
Oh, it was toity.
Really?
It was toity.
Oh, shit.
It was toity.
See, I've been to a couple of those. I was not comfortable at all.
Their Christmas buffet had servants.
What?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of town.
People were bringing out the food and fucking chafing dishes and shit.
Yeah, I don't like... Yeah. See, the meetings I go to are like downtown East Side.
Yeah.
Serious drunks.
Mm-hmm.
Drunks like me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice. It's shout out to all the friends of Bill W. out there.
Because addiction can hit anyone, anywhere, anytime, regardless of age, race, sexual identity,
exactly,
creed, religion, or lack of religion.
So, Dr. Bonnie Henry has been warning us.
She's been waving her finger. She's been getting quite catty recently.
No, well, I don't blame her.
You people.
Yeah. No, the guy who is getting pissed, though, is Horgan, our premier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, come on, people, you can do better.
Don't they kind of remind you of
parents?
They're like a mom and dad.
Yeah, they came home, found you having a party or some shit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They're like shitty white parents who ultimately you know that they're not going to hit you. So you're just going to keep doing what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, yeah, so we've had like a bit of a spike. And they put that down to, one, Canada Day. They called that the Canada Day spike.
Because
a lot of people were dumb shits and just went out without masks. And, it's Canada Day. Yeah. We got to celebrate. And then the latest was the drum. Now, apparently, this is a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very white people hippie bullshit thing. The drum circle at Third Beach. So it's a bunch of white people, like hippie types, New Agers. Who get together. So a drum circle is traditionally a First Nations thing.
It's an indigenous thing from around the world.
But that's the thing. I mean, whatever. I'm not even going to get into the fact
beating on drums is a deep and important part of shamanic traditions across the world, Glenn.
Yeah, but not for white people, let's be honest.
I'm sure that Celtic people were banging on drums.
Celtic people, different. Different thing.
They were white.
Yeah, we don't know that.
You're positively translucent.
We don't know that.
You are.
Were you anyway, so yeah. So the big, the weekly or monthly drum circle at Third Beach, saw a picture of it. It was just, it looked like fucking Woodstock.
Yeah.
So nobody was social distancing. Nobody was wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And they were all there drumming and praying and shit to, you know. Their bullshit fucking New Age Oprah gods.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now I'm starting to sound like the people I make fun of.
Yes, that's some religious intolerance right there.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's one of those things where, I mean, we already have problems with Americans coming up here, because the only way you can get into the country right now, if you are traveling, like driving, is to say you're on your way to Alaska. Mm-hmm. So they've already arrested Americans in like national parks and provincial parks. It's like Alaska's that way.
A shout out to our man in Chile, in case you didn't know. Canada has closed the border to America, not the other way around.
No, that's right.
We have closed the... Americans are not allowed up here.
You want to come up? Come on up. Anyways, yeah, so...
unless you were part of a Pinochet death squad, in which case we don't want you.
No, definitely not. Not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not all right. So, yeah, and they figure also Kelowna is where it happened.
Interestingly enough...
Yeah.
I believe the breakout began the weekend that I was up in Kelowna.
Really?
Yes.
Kelowna, as it turns out, because I think Kelowna, I have been in my other incarnation on, a few motorcycle runs up there.
Okay.
Kelowna to me is like summertime, party, beaches.
Young people.
Yeah. But you know what? Apparently Kelowna is pretty... capital C conservative. Didn't know that.
You think so?
No, I'm just saying this is what people are telling me.
Uh-huh.
And that the reason they said, okay, the reason this is important is because you got your anti-maskers.
Mm.
You can't tell me what to do. I pay my taxes. Mm-hmm. Land of the free, home of the fucking rednecks. Bullshit. You know what I mean? So they figure it has a lot to do not so much with tourists going up to Kelowna, more to do with the local population, the older local population, who are like, yeah, you can't tell me what to do.
I mean,
I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to social distance.
I went to
I'm dead.
I went to the Cactus Club up there on the water with my family, and nobody was wearing masks in there. It was packed. It was absolutely
packed.
You're
lucky you didn't get shot like that guy in Philly. No, they didn't shoot him, though. The guy we were talking about last week.
Yeah. No, yeah. There were a lot of brown people there. I was safe.
Okay.
Because you can't travel anywhere else. So all the fucking scumbags from Surrey. I don't mean that. Yeah, I don't mean that at all. My wife's going to get that.
He means it.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
All the proud upwardly mobile South Asians went up to Kelowna to hang out and party. And they were at the Cactus Club, where they hang out in every town in BC.
Really?
Yes.
The Cactus Club. Who knew?
Yes.
The Cactus Club is a brown person's thing.
It is. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, if four brown guys were sitting at the Cactus Club, it was highly likely that some cops would come up. Part of bar watch. Kick you out.
Really? For being brown? That's racist.
I think it's called racial profiling, but I had to do something with a gang war going on at the time.
Oh, they were criminals?
No. You didn't have to be a criminal, but...
You know what?
You look like a
criminal. Do you want to hear something? Sometimes I just like kind of get it, and I end up going down rabbit holes on YouTube, and I don't mean to, but it's so easy to do. So I saw these young Asian people who do these videos about what's the difference between, you know, like Canadian-born Chinese and people fresh off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this girl come on. She was, I think she was maybe Vietnamese Canadian or something. And they had her on as a guest on this video, and she was talking about Vancouver. The difference between Vancouver and Seattle from an Asian, like this is East Asian perspective, right? And holy shit, I wanted to reach through the screen and slap her senseless.
Why?
Because for people who don't know, she just gave this horrible fucking way off base picture of Vancouver, which was obviously coming from a very privileged point of view. Mm-hmm. But one of the things she said, you know what bothers, like she just totally contradicted herself. What really bothers me is when people just make the assumption that, Asian people are also gang members.
Mm-hmm.
And it's if you come to where I'm from in Vancouver, it's not like that at all. The gangsters are all South Asian, mm-hmm. just so you know. And I'm like, what? You're trying to say it's racist to call you out on being East Asian and part of the gang culture, mm-hmm. but it's okay to slam South Asian people.
And it's totally incorrect. I would actually hold up, interestingly enough, the lower mainland where we live right here, Metro Vancouver community, mm-hmm. our criminal elements are fairly quite progressive. We have a gang called the UN Gang.
That's
which
right.
Which sounds pretty cheesy.
But the United Nations.
Yeah, they consist of South Asians, whites. I don't know if there's any Eastern Europeans in there, but definitely East Asians, Vietnamese, Chinese. A whole
I thought that was the Red Scorpions. I thought that was the Bacon Brothers.
They're all mixed up.
They're all mixed up. It is. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, you can't tell a player these days without a program.
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress again. So, we've got this spike. Mm-hmm. And what it boils down to is, I guess, it's summertime. And people have now just decided to ignore the rules because they can't go anywhere.
And they were locked up for 3 months.
Yeah.
That let out a little steam.
From personal experience.
Yes.
Being locked up for 3 months is nothing.
I wonder how much anonymous sex has to do with COVID transmission.
Yeah, could well be. Yeah.
I'm sure Tinder and all the various apps are back online again and working.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But more importantly, Harsh, mm-hmm. okay, this is troubling, this next piece mm-hmm. that I would like to address. Troubling, my man.
Okay, let's hear your red baiting.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's like, basically, how a military-style boot camp on Salt Spring Island is related to a Surrey murder involving a Chinese national.
Ooh.
So right?
Just for people who don't know, Salt Spring Island is a small island.
Home of the hippies.
The coast of Vancouver, a home of hippies, formerly a place where people grew pot and mushrooms.
And now it's just where rich people live.
And let their armpit grow, basically. Or armpit hair grow.
A friend of mine said that, so it's like the rich people live in the north, and the people who actually work on the island and farm and things like that are down south.
See, that sounds like a good system.
And north is apparently where the shitty water is, because that's where the actual salt springs are.
Oh.
And down south is not that it has anything to do with this story. But
north, rich, south, poor divide. Sounds like a microcosm.
It does. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. Last month, there was an unsolved murder in Surrey involving a Chinese national. And this person was involved in one of these. Actually, they don't even know what the company did, but it was Create Abundance. Anyways.
Oh, I'm a board member.
Yeah, okay. But
You want a boat? Create abundance.
Prior to that, so I guess what happened because of this murder last month, now this video was taken in 2018, March 2018, by Joe Clemente, who's known locally as Banana Joe, because he grows tropical fruit and plants on the island.
And wears a Speedo all day long.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was driving on Northern Salt Spring in March 2018, when he came across about 50 people marching in military camouflage, fatigues, and boots. Clemente's 35-second video shows they were primarily women, apparently Chinese. Did you see I sent you the link to the video. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did watch it.
Okay. Creepy as hell.
I thought it looked kind of hot, but whatever.
Just because there was women in fatigues.
That
you were just thinking like shit out of magazines that you used to read when you were a teenager.
I'm going to get fucked to death by 50 confident Chinese women.
So, Clemente says, not a lot of things shock me, but that shocked me. We don't have any military bases here.
I tell you, if this shocked fucking Banana Pants, it was shocking.
Well, yeah. So he was wondering, did I stumble upon a cult?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Clemente, he says, you know, if it was hippies with dreadlocks, I wouldn't even think twice about it. We have a lot of earthy people out here. I'd say, just a bunch of hippies out on the march. This was completely different. You think, Joe? And another resident, Kathy Wisner. Kathy, I got to tell you, from reading this, and I also watched an interview with her, is very much a Karen. Another area resident, Kathy Wisner, was gardening when she spotted what she thought were cadets training one afternoon the week before Clemente's experience. Their commander barked instructions in a language other than English. So that was upsetting to can't tell it's Chinese, but really?
Maybe she's very progressive. She's like, it could have been Vietnamese, Korean. I can't tell the difference. And she's just being open about her.
I doubt so.
I think that, but honestly, put yourself in those shoes. There's some sort of military operation taking place in front of you in a language other than English.
Yeah.
And you live in Canada. That's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree. Anyways, so a joint investigation by the Breaker News and CTV reveals that the owner's connections to companies and real estate in Langley and Surrey, including a crime scene in Grandview Heights. So they own this resort-type place.
On Salt Spring Island.
Yeah. So the Chinese national in question, Bo Fan, a 41-year-old who came to Canada from China in February 2019, was a victim of a murder on June 17th. RCMP initially pinpointed a property on 27th Avenue, the headquarters of Create Abundance International Institute, Inc., which owns Mineral Springs, the venue for the boot camps. So a manager at the resort said he did not have direct contact for the owners, but said he would pass along a request for comment. For the first time, homicide investigators have revealed the connection between Bo Fan, a Chinese citizen living in Surrey who was murdered in June, and a company operating in BC under the name Create Abundance. According to Lower Mainland's Integrated Homicide Investigation Team, 41-year-old Fan, who died June 17th in hospital, worked for Create Abundance. Police said the company is also known by the name Golden Touch and said Fan had clients as
Golden part of... Golden Touch?
Yeah.
Golden I've never Touch. Been there.
she said, Fan had clients as part of her duties, though investigators said the exact nature of her employment remains unclear. So according to Fan, to police, Fan was found with extensive and serious injuries in the overnight hours of June 16th to 17th in Surrey's Grandview Heights neighborhood near where investigators say she was living. And Jang declined to specify exactly who found Fan or where, citing the ongoing investigation. He confirmed Fan's brother and sister-in-law took her to Peace Arch Hospital, where she later died. Now, here's the thing, okay? This is not like just found her, you know, gunshot wound, whatever. A hospital source with firsthand knowledge of the injuries said she appeared to be badly beaten and that her femur, the strongest bone in the human body, appeared to be destroyed.
So the femur is the large bone in your thigh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the deal there was.
Apparently, she wasn't creating as much
abundance as she should have been.
She should have.
Ba-dum-ba.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I've read other stuff about that house on 27th Avenue. Neighbors were always complaining because, like, there was huge tour buses parked everywhere in the street, and that was pissing them off because it was, like, blocking people's driveways. So whatever is going on there, had they like bust people into this thing, right? And it looked to be mostly very affluent people involved. Like a lot of the cars there were very high-end luxury vehicles, but nobody has yet to be able to determine what this company did, what they were about, whether it was like some kind of pyramid scheme, whether it was some kind of weird cult, whether they were all spies for the Chinese communists. Yeah,
some kind of PSYOP, or if it's an American PSYOP.
I have no idea.
They own a resort in Salt Spring.
Yeah.
Where there appear to be military operations taking place, or at least people dressing up, or LARPing as military.
I don't know. It was weird.
That's really weird.
I know, right? Anyways, so nobody knows what this organization is about. A Chinese language recruitment brochure obtained by CTV News with a business card stapled to the front lists the same address. The pamphlet refers to Golden Touch as a global communication organization committed to the spreading of spiritual wisdom of Chinese culture. Now, let me tell you.
Now, this sounds like a intelligence operation.
Yeah, because I remember, I don't know, a couple years back, they had to kick out this organization from some schools in the Maritimes because they were providing cultural education, basically for, it was an after school program. Mm-hmm. But it was basically, oh, you know, this is what our culture is about. This is the fan dance. Uh-huh. We do Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. And also, the Communist Party loves you, and you need to be completely obedient. And they found out, like, they were teaching, like, some serious propaganda. Mm-hmm. And so they kicked them out. They weren't a cultural organization.
Well, I mean,
they were basically... I don't even know if they were spying. It was more of a hearts and minds campaign.
That's still cultural. It's a culture of killing the capitalist pigs.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But about... I have one remark about this, though.
Uh-huh.
This video.
Yeah.
Was, you stated it was recorded in 2018.
Yes.
It's 2020 right now.
Yeah. Well, she was only murdered last month.
Yeah, but how come we never saw this video before? Of 50 Chinese women in military garb marching down the street on Salt Spring Island.
I don't know. Maybe it was out there and people just went, so? But then when they...
So here's the question. Why is it in the news now?
Because of the murder.
Maybe.
Then what do you think?
I've told you many times, there is an attempt, a concerted attempt right now, at starting up a new Cold War with China. And sometimes these types of operations, they work from the highest levels and also to low levels, local levels as well. You want to win hearts and minds among the Canadian electorate for not necessarily a hot war against China, but just a constant antagonistic relationship. You push stories like this.
And stories like the COVID-19 virus was actually from Canada and then taken to a lab in Wuhan and then they released it on purpose. Those kind of stories?
Those kind of stories, or that real estate prices in BC have skyrocketed because of Chinese nationals who are laundering money illegally obtained from the Chinese government. All sorts of shit. Just all sorts of stuff. It's been building for years now and it will continue to build. And this is also right now happening in the context of the conflict between Canada and the Chinese government over the two prisoners, the two Michaels, and also the extradition of the, what is she, the CFO of Huawei to the United States.
Huawei. Yeah. Meng Jianguo.
I'm just wondering if we can put this story into that larger context.
You think?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Or, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's kind of crazy. My on-air partner is just stirring up more crazy conspiracy shit.
Conspiracy shit?
Yeah.
No.
Well, on that note...
I'm just saying. You never know.
Well, I see
a lot of anti-Chinese articles out in
the
mainstream media right now.
That's not good. Right?
And, I mean, this is just the next level.
But I just think this is really, to me, this is, like, really bizarre that, like, this boot camp thing and this woman's murdered and beaten that badly. What the hell? Like, who'd you owe money to? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But either way, we need to take a break right now.
Yeah, we do.
And hear from our sponsors, the University of Notre Dame. think it actually tastes better in this cup.
Really?
So, yeah. We're back. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for sticking around. And I lied. This is not the University of Notre Dame. This is actually...
We would never allow ourselves to be sponsored by a Catholic university. We do not support any Abrahamic religion.
That's right. This is actually from Notre Dame High School, a Catholic high school in East Vancouver.
Shit. Okay.
And it says, and you turn around and it says, "Go Jugglers." And they gave this, I was actually a guest speaker there.
They had you as a speaker, right?
They had me.
It's like, kids, this could be you.
Yeah, maybe. But it says, "Go Jugglers." Mm-hmm. And the reason that this pisses me off is that their sport teams, it used to be the Fighting Irish, mm-hmm. right? And it had the little leprechaun guy doing this. You've seen that?
Yeah, I actually have a shirt with two racist Irish tropes. It has that little fighting guy, and it also says Red Cup Champion.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm fighting and I'm drunk.
Yes. anyways, yeah, so they changed it to the Jugglers, apparently because the little Irish guy, Fighting Irish, was offensive to somebody.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
Like, I'm Irish. I don't find that offensive in the least.
Uh-huh.
That's mostly what we do is drink and then fight.
Yeah, there's like...
And then sing.
There's
and
like
then
some...
cry.
There are some
and
good...
And drink.
There are some good cultural stereotypes. Like,
yes.
Like Irish being good at fighting, other people having large phalluses.
Oh, hang on now. I'm just back up. Nobody said we were good at fighting.
Okay.
We fight. We were drunk. Listen... I'm going to tell you, when I was still drinking, I got into a shitload of fights.
Mm-hmm.
And I always walked away. Not because I was a great fighter, because mm-hmm. I was just always drunk enough that I couldn't feel anything. And then I mostly didn't stop drinking long enough mm-hmm. to really feel anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wasn't technically not that great.
Yeah.
But could I take a fucking shot to the head? Set to the point where people would go... Okay, I just walk away from this because I'm like twice his size and outweigh him by 150 pounds, and he didn't even fucking flinch. Mm-hmm. So, anyways.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I have an idea for a live podcast, actually.
We have to. Like, I've been talking to some other people.
We should do it. We should do this. We should, like, live stream a relapse.
Absolutely.
Both of us together.
No. That's a horrible idea.
Just doing what we do, live stream it.
No, that would be just...
And, actually, in order to make this a reality, I've set up a new website recently.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon wouldn't accept us. So, I've set up a website. We have one other client, Richard Spencer. It's called Hatreon. So, if you sign up to Hatreon and support us, even a dollar a month, you can make this live stream a reality. If we achieve a sufficiently large amount of money, mm-hmm. if we can get that, like, we can really make this live stream happen. Glennon Harge's relapse.
Okay, then.
It's an idea.
Yes, and that's what it's going to stay. okay, so here's the deal. Canada's Nazi monuments. I had no idea about this until I just kind of came across this article.
It's always interesting. Anytime racism comes up in the cultural milieu, the next thing up is Nazis. Let's talk about Nazis.
Yes, because Nazis, like, they are famous. And you know what? Like, a lot of this shit that's happening in the U.S. right now, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that later, is very, like, paving the way for a dictatorship right now, I'll tell you that much.
And also a lot of the stuff going on right now that you're about to talk about has to do with living in the shadows of the Nazi past.
Oh, yeah. So, you're going to love this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first monument we're going to talk about is in Oakville, and it is there.
So, Oakville.
Oakville, Ontario.
Is a community south of the center of Toronto. Very affluent community.
Really?
Yes.
Never been there. Anyways, so this monument is to those who served in Nazi SS division. And at first, are you ready for this? I think it was the OPP were investigating it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want you to think about this for a minute. So, graffiti on the Nazi SS, Waffen SS regiment monument, right? Police, the OPP, were investigating it as a hate crime. Wait a minute. How could it be a hate crime against Nazis?
Did they, I mean.
I don't understand.
Hate crime's a hate crime, regardless of who it's against, even if it's against haters, like Nazis. But were they aware that this was a Nazi statue?
I'm assuming.
Is it explicitly a Nazi statue?
Well, apparently, yes. It's very, like, I saw a picture of it. It's abundantly clear that it's like.
It's got those fucking lightning. It's got those lightning bolts.
No, but it's got like an inlaid like carving.
Okay. You know?
So it's got like the troops with the helmets.
Okay.
The whole nine yards. Anyways, they're investigating it now as vandalism.
Okay.
They went, well.
Well, vandalism is a crime.
People got upset. So
it is a crime. It's a crime against property.
No longer. Meanwhile, you know, some brown guy gets his house burned down. It's like. Fuck, the police won't even go near him, but they'll investigate this as a hate crime. Alrighty. Anyways, someone painted Nazi war monument on a stone cenotaph commemorating those who served with the 14th SS Division in the Second World War. The monument is located in Ophel in the St. Volodymyr Ukrainian Cemetery. The division made up of Ukrainians who pledged allegiance to Hitler was part of the Nazis' Waffen-SS organization. Some members of the division have been accused of killing Polish women and children, as well as Jews, during the Second World War.
So they weren't Nazis. They were Nazi-adjacent.
They were like a Nazi farm team?
They were like... I don't think you could be a Slav and a Nazi. But they were like self-hating Slavs, Ukrainians, who decided to ally with the Nazis.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes. Anyways, so that's the one in Oakville.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Edmonton, here's the thing I gotta say, Edmonton, also a ton of Ukrainian people, because this figures into our story here.
And I believe that Ukrainian people settled all across the prairies, Saskatchewan, Manitoba.
All across.
Because they like farming.
Yeah.
They're a wheat cultivating people.
Yes. So, anyways, in Edmonton, there is a bust of Roman Shukovich, who was in charge of a nationalist battalion serving as Nazi auxiliaries that later morphed into a German auxiliary police battalion. These units took part in lethal anti-Semitic violence and brutal counterinsurgency suppression. Shukovich also commanded the Ukrainian insurgent army, which killed Jews and systematically massacred 70,000 to 100,000 Poles, and apparently the Oakville Cemetery has a prominent UPA monument as well, the Ukrainian Insurgent Army. The most infamous cases of Nazis launching successful post-war careers in the New World is, and you've heard of Operation Paperclip.
Werner von Braun.
Yeah.
The man who landed us on the moon.
Because the Nazis had, like, this huge rocket program.
They were smart. They were a smart people.
Yes. Very
much. They were technologically advanced. And the Allies and the Russians weren't going to let all that know-how go to waste.
But Canada took in thousands of concentration camp guards, SS fighters, and other Nazi collaborators from Ukraine and other nations such as Latvia, which had its own SS division, one it honors today with parades. But here's the thing. I'm reading this, and I'm going like, this is some crazy shit. So I remember a few years back, they busted some old man in like Hope. He was a death camp guard somewhere. And of course, apparently he got into the country by telling some story. Here's what kills me is most of their backstories are not outright lies. Do you know what I mean? Like they are just cleaned up a little bit in what they say they did during the war. But mostly what they say, all these guys, is we fought the communists. So that's their loophole,
mm-hmm.
right? This is how we have all these monuments to fucking Nazis all across Canada, because all you got to do is say anti-Russian, you're good to go. You get a pass.
Yes.
Can you, harsh man,
uh-huh.
please explain to me what the hell, why is everybody so fucking terrified of not just communists, but specifically, like, the Cold War's over, get over it, Russia is no longer communist. What the hell? You mention anything to do with Russia, and people will say, oh, yeah, oh, well, what, you support the Kremlin? Is that the deal? Mm-hmm. Or did you know what they did in the last election uh-huh. in America? Fucking blah, blah, blah.
Who gives a shit? Which they probably didn't to the degree.
No, they probably didn't. But, I mean, we've, like, interfered in how many fucking elections around the world?
And people are interfering in people's elections all the time. Israel interfered in the last U.S. election probably to a greater degree than...
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing...
Why are they afraid?
Yeah, I think, explain this to me.
I think because they weren't afraid of Russians for a long time. After the fall of the Soviet Union, when Russia became a hyper-capitalist American neoconservative experiment,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't very anti-Russian. The anti-Russian thing has only really taken place since Putin came into power, consolidated his power. And I think if we go to a classical Freudian explanation of it, what we have here is a case of sexual repression and a reaction formation. There is a latent homoerotic attraction.
We
have discussed Putin before. He is a vigorous man.
Yes, he is.
He is a world leader
yeah.
who is not afraid.
Likes to ride horses without a shirt.
On a horse, and yeah. he can pull it off. There's not too many who can pull that off.
No.
Probably Trudeau can pull
Trudeau
it off.
Could.
But Macron, would he? No, he wouldn't. Because he's not man enough to deal with the fleas and the mites.
But, yeah. Okay.
But Putin can pull it off. He is also a yeah. master of hand-to-hand combat.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
He's someone that you wouldn't mind having him rough you up a little bit. So what I'm saying is that...
You're upsetting
that
me.
Is at the heart of the American psyche there.
No,
they see this strong man and they can't stand it because they want him so bad, but they can't have him. So the outward expression is going to be a reaction formation. It's going to be a response that is so anti to what you actually feel inside.
So that maybe that explains America. What the hell does Canada have against Russia?
Well, we're just little brother.
You know what I mean?
I don't think Canada really has anything against... Well, I guess they do.
We know we don't have anything against communist China
mm-hmm.
because
oh, yeah.
we let shit go on up here.
Uh-huh.
Fucking boot camps and mm-hmm. shit on mm-hmm. islands just off the mm-hmm. coast of big cities.
Well, we have our own... Like,
Meng Wanzhou.
We have actually perhaps a reasonable and actual on-the-ground reason to be concerned about Russia, which is the contiguous nature of the border.
Well,
Russia,
I mean,
Canada,
yeah, okay.
But that's
why we have the NORAD thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the Americans got that covered up north in Alaska and shit.
Yeah, yeah. We have it too, but you know what I mean.
Anyways, I was pissed.
But like, countries need a boogeyman.
Why, though?
We just haven't found a new one, so we're just holding on to the old one.
No, but I mean, if you want a boogeyman, Nazis, in my opinion...
Uh-huh.
I mean, they killed millions
yes.
of Jews and gypsies and gay people and yeah. anything else they mm-hmm. deemed not worthy uh-huh. of the Aryan race.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if you want a boogeyman, there you go. There's yeah, no denying it. Well, okay, some people deny it, but yeah. they're crazy.
But I mean, if you look for post-World War II, even at the last days of World War II, the next war was already taking shape. It was a rush for Berlin. It was a race for resources. It was a race for scientists.
And that's the
so
other...
that's the pragmatist point of view, right?
It's so like what... how do we also get so anti-Russian when the fact of the matter is we could not have won the Second World War if it wasn't for Russia?
the great sacrifice.
They did of most of the fighting.
Yeah. You want to talk, people here in this country talk about intergenerational, transgenerational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's very likely that that trauma still exists in Russia because the death toll there
was crazy.
Was insane.
And was then insane.
They experienced total war at a scale that none of the Allied countries have any conception of. Not even Britain. True. Not even France.
That's right.
I mean, France capitulated early and there was war at the end a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like on the scale that Russia had to face.
It was crazy.
And if the forces that were in operation during Operation Barbarossa on the Eastern Front were in Western Europe when the United States, Great Britain, and the Allies and Canada decided to invade, it in all likelihood would have been a different picture. Because to a unit, the Germans were better than the Allies.
But I get a little bit confused when you look at the history of America, who are just like, communism, run for your lives. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's scary shit.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a nation that fully, you know, took part in, like, after the First World War.
Uh-huh.
They were absolutely a part of, you know, making sure that Germany was in, like, obscene amounts of debt. Debt that they could never pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would never actually be in a position to start another war. And all that did was lay the groundwork for a guy like Hitler and the National Socialist Party, right? But also, you had all kinds of people in America. Henry Ford was selling shit to the fucking Germans, and yet people still go, Henry Ford, you know, God bless him. He was the father of fucking automation and makes great cars. And
I bet you that there were...
fucking supported the Nazi.
There were significant segments of American and Canadian individuals in power who probably held the belief that what we should actually do is make a treaty with the Nazis and fight against the communists during World War II.
So,
and reportedly, this is something that people in the British aristocracy were considering as well.
Well, the British aristocracy, who were all fucking German anyways. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I get confused because on the one hand, you got like people in the background with a lot of money, basically supporting the Germans during the Second World War. And then Russia pretty much won the war for us. And yet, well, fuck you, Russia, you're the bad guy now. That's a little confusing to me. And it still, even though Russia is no longer communist, people are still afraid of Russia.
Yes.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I personally, I don't know. I have a soft spot in my heart for Russia. I think maybe it's because of my Indian heritage. India was also always a little bit closer to Russia than they were to the Americans.
So basically, a lot of these Nazi war criminals and stuff that ended up in Canada, they got rebranded as anti-communists and freedom fighters, right? But also, what I don't really understand, this is pretty important, okay, so here's a quote from an article by Lev Galinkin published in The Nation, which from time to time does some good reporting. And basically what he says is the Russian embassy in Canada began gleefully tweeting about the Canadian monuments, including the SS Galichnaya Memorial in Oakville. It's safe to assume Moscow knew that this would create a wedge issue between Ottawa and Canada's large Ukrainian diaspora. But the Russian trolling backfired. Indeed, Moscow propaganda bemoaning Nazi whitewashing was a gift for the whitewashers, who began to attack anyone protesting the glorification of Nazi collaborators as carrying water for the Kremlin. Under anything approaching normal circumstances, the "you're siding with Putin" logic would not have worked in even a remedial middle school debate.
Because then you're siding with Nazis.
Yeah, it's the ultimate straw man argument. The question of whether we should condemn those who honor Nazi butchers and engage in Holocaust distortion has nothing to do with Russia. The Kremlin, like most governments, routinely denounces things like terrorist attacks. Does that make Americans who oppose terrorism Kremlin stooges? And then there's like the Canadian Jewish organizations.
Now, this is interesting.
Which I don't understand. So, first of all, the only people who got really pissed and upset about it was the Simon Wiesenthal Center,
mm-hmm.
which, understandably, that's their whole reason for existence. Mm-hmm. They're Nazi hunters, right? But the two major Jewish-Canadian advocacy groups are the Center for Israeli and Jewish Affairs and B'nai B'rith. And despite Canada's Nazi collaborator monuments having been in the news for 3 years, the CIJA's press release section doesn't contain a single item on the issue. So on B'nai B'rith is just kind of like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because it's about getting donations. Right? So uh-huh. It's like where their money is coming from. They don't want to mess with that.
So where's their money coming from?
That I'm not entirely sure.
Because if they wanted to get donations from rabidly anti-Nazi Jews, wouldn't they be making this issue larger?
Yeah, but it's also got something to do with Russia.
That's very confusing.
It is very confusing.
So we have two Jewish organizations who should be leading the vanguard of toppling these Nazi statues.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it does make sense.
Yeah? Here we go.
I think this absolutely does make sense.
Okay.
If we refer back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
At the foundation are your needs for food, warmth, shelter,
water,
safety,
air,
security,
yeah.
That type of stuff. Basic human needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we look who provides those types of needs, those specific needs for the Jewish population, I want you to refer to the Ukrainian population. Who are these alleged Nazis?
Yes.
Now, the Ukrainian farming population is the population that grows our potatoes. I don't know if you're aware of this. Yeah. No, I'm not saying this in a racist way. I am a friend of the Jew. I am referred to as a Hindu myself. I am also a great fan of tasty potato treats. Article 1, the potato latke.
If
you're Jewish, potato supply is cut off or fucked with, how are you going to have all those tasty potato pancakes?
Can I just say that...
I'm just saying, sometimes the needs of your tummy override the needs of your ideals and moral compass.
Honestly, I don't know what I spend more time on, working on this podcast,
yes,
or talking to my lawyer about how I can fucking divest myself from some of the comments.
I've been trying to get a hold of them. I've been trying to get a hold of them, but the McCluskeys are a little busy.
Yeah, good one. Mm. So, along the lines of staying,
but
you know,
honestly, I mean, I don't really care about much, but I don't think we should have statues to people who are SS adjacent.
No, we shouldn't have fucking statues. Well, mainly, like, why isn't anybody addressing the amount of statues in this country, including our first fucking prime minister, John A. McDonald?
Whoa.
That were absolutely just as Nazi-like when it comes to our indigenous population.
Yeah, but it was okay to be like that back then. It's
not okay now. And we got this shit going on all
still,
across
I mean, I think we're smart enough to have a statue that can then balance the relationship between being the founder of a country and also being a genocidal, racist, drunk, homicidal maniac.
You know, who we should have more statues of?
Who?
Because we have none.
Who?
Fucking SpongeBob SquarePants.
Really?
Yes. Because neutral kind of guy, uh-huh. Likable,
uh-huh.
You know, stands up for his friends.
Developmentally disabled.
Okay, hey, you didn't need to go there. Really? But anyways, speaking of Nazis,
just on the cap of this one issue, about this Nazi statue, I think all of these issues are easy to present in sound bites and on news, but if you start digging into
this is not a sound bite. This is like an hour of this podcast.
I know, but I mean, the issue... The issue of the statues, if you get into it, if you get into a fine-grain analysis of it, it has a lot more to do with local politics, politics on the ground, sectarian politics, different yes. ethnic populations like the Ukrainian population yeah. and the degree of power they have.
And the fact that
a voting bloc, them acting as a voting bloc, I think it's a lot more interesting and a lot more nuanced than maybe it's presented in the news.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. And despite Canada's nice guy reputation on the international stage, Canada is racist as fuck.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I want you to know our one...
says the guy wearing the Make America Great hat and Hindus for Trump.
I just want
to
say...
Come on, people!
To our Chilean listener, Canada is not racist. As you can see, I'm brown like you. I'm assuming you're brown.
You and don't even know.
This is a wonderful place. This country has allowed me to reach the pinnacle, the heights of being able to own a boat.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, speaking of Nazis, let's talk about Operation Bone Spurs, or okay. whatever the hell he's calling it.
It's Donnie T.
Operation something. Anyways, yeah, so he has sent...
We're talking about Donald Trump now.
Donald Trump has sent federal troops into Portland,
yeah.
where there has been the same type of rioting that has been across the country. The worst that has happened in Portland, they've like lit some fires,
broken some windows.
Yeah, and marched on the courthouse, and really nothing. Like there's stuff that's boarded up, you know. But hell, we boarded stuff up here when COVID like became a lockdown situation. Fucking people boarding shit up left, right, yeah. and center because they didn't want looting.
Something that has happened in America that transgresses the American sensibility like no other.
Mm-hmm.
Gratuitous nudity and sex. There was a woman marching on the street, naked, spread eagle, pointing herself towards
people. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is...
That gets American conservatives hot and bothered.
Well, yeah, but what many, many legal experts and... So here's the thing with Trump. What he's managed to do, I don't know how he's done it. So you look at Portland. That was his test case.
It's an earthy town.
It's an earthy town, but it's also, it's half and half. Pardon me. So you have a lot of, you know, what they refer to as Antifa kind of movements there. But you also have a lot of movements like the Proud Boys and shit like that. In Portland. So it's a hotbed for radicalism on both sides mm-hmm. of the fence, mm-hmm. I guess. Anyway, so Trump, in his infinite wisdom, sent in, and against the wishes of the mayor of Portland, against the wishes of local police departments and sheriff's departments, has sent in his own federal police force, made up of like special units from the border patrol
who are reportedly only allowed to operate within a certain distance from the border.
Yeah. Which I'm sure
Portland, I think, is greater.
Little
yeah.
further.
Yeah.
So from them, from,
they're like not the ocean border.
No. So yeah, from the border patrol, from like the, DEA, from a bunch of different federal
in unmarked units. Vans.
Yeah. And like kidnapping people off the fucking street.
So what you're saying is right now, we could fire up my Westfalia VW van, speaking of Nazis.
Yeah.
We could drive down to Portland if we get through there, and we could start throwing people in our van.
Yeah. And apparently they would just blame the government.
Are these people being charged? Are they being held in public cells?
Eventually they're being released. One guy got arrested who had nothing to do with any of it. He was walking home, mm-hmm. but he happened to be close enough to what was going on, and he was wearing all black.
Mm-hmm.
He was, could you imagine that? Like, you're just Joe Bloggs.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to do with any politics or any left-wing movement. You're walking home, and a van pulls up, throws a fucking bag over your head, and chucks you in the back.
Well, Glenn, I'm pretty sure that you have experience with this. Can you tell us how it feels?
Yeah, but that was not political. Yeah. That was financial. Okay. Okay. Anyways, the announcement on Wednesday by Donald Trump that he would deploy federal troops in U.S. cities. So he wants to go further. He wants to send them to Chicago and Philly and a bunch of places. Philly, the mayor of Philly, the DA in Philly said, fuck, if he sends them here, I'm going to get them. Our police will arrest their police and we'll charge them.
Well, so we have a states' rights, federal power interaction going on here.
Yes. So Donnie wants to address what he said was an abdication of their duty by local authorities to maintain law and order. And this was greeted by analysts as a naked political ploy designed to reverse his awful approval rating in advance of the November election. The mayors of 15 large cities warned as much in an open letter to Trump this week.
Probably blue cities.
Oh, very much so.
Yep.
The mayors wrote, they said, to express our deep concern and objection to the deployment of federal forces in U.S. cities as those forces are conducting law enforcement activities without coordination or authorization of local law enforcement officials. We urge you to take immediate action to withdraw your forces and agree to no further unilateral deployments in U.S. cities.
I also believe that this operation is being headed by the DHS, Department of Homeland Security.
Well, signatories included the mayors of Seattle. You were right. Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Boston, Philadelphia, Denver, Los Angeles, San Jose, Oakland, Tucson, Sacramento, and Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Phoenix is hardly a blue city.
Trump administration so far has deployed unidentified agents in military-style camo in Portland and announced plans to send officers to Chicago and Albuquerque. The U.S. Constitution gives broad power over policing and public health and safety to the states as opposed to the federal government. The United States has no federal police force, and it is historically rare. But it's not, because, as I did a little reading,
That's your problem, Glenn. You read too much.
I know, right? Federal forces were in Los Angeles to control the Rodney King riots. They entered Washington, Chicago, and Baltimore in the days after the killing of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in 68. They went into Detroit during a race riot in 1943. And then again in 1967, they were in Little Rock, Arkansas during school integration for the Pullman strike of 1894 in Chicago and across numerous cities during the Great Railroad strike of 1877.
So those all make sense to me. Union busting and going to war against the coloreds. But but this right here, this is a big deal. Because if you look at the protests, this is a rainbow coalition of protests. The United Federal Government of the United States is running a coordinated and sustained counterinsurgency effort against a segment of its own population. A large segment of its own population. That's fucking insane.
It is insane.
That's a crazy time to be alive.
And to me, what Trump has managed to do, like, I guess he thought, you know, I'm gonna, like, put my foot down and I'm gonna show people that I am gonna take no shit, and you fucking hippies in Portland burning things and talking about peace and freedom and everything, we're gonna slap you down. But what he's managed to do is actually piss off everybody on both sides.
Okay,
so no one's on his side. The progressives and Antifa, Democrats in general, for obvious reasons, but also the alt-right and Republicans, they're all thinking the same thing. This smacks of big government. So neither side wants
No one who can have their voice heard on news is supporting him. But remember what happened during the last election. There's a quiet roar from the unheard people. And I'm wondering how many of them are supportive of these efforts.
Be honest. Is this not what... like, to me, this is paving the way for a dictatorship. Well, this is where it starts, right? Like you're, I mean, just what I was saying, that guy, Joe Average, walking home, he's dressed in black. Let's fucking get him. He was nothing to do with what was going on.
That's been, stuff like that has happened in the United States forever.
Well.
During the 60s and 70s. They conducted intelligence operations against their own people, against the directives of their constitution. This shit, nothing's new. It's just more blatant.
I think what Trump is trying to do, like it wants to use that same agenda that he used in 2016
same
to
playbook.
Get elected. He basically, remember when he said, Mexico is not sending its best people. It's sending rapists, and Mexico is really fucking happy about that.
Mexico also closed the border.
Yeah, do you blame them? Nobody likes you right now. So, but he's basically saying that his tough on crime agenda in urban America and it stems from drug cartels, gang bangers, and Antifa.
Uh-huh.
Mostly. Three of Trump's favorite boogeymen.
And he's going to work that narrative. This is the plan right here. It's don't distract from that. Be singular and purposeful in your messaging. And they're picking their message now. They're not going
to
waver.
No, and he's trying to deflect, really, from like conditions. So he's pointing out certain cities, but he's not saying anything about why there's like that kind of crime. So he's not taking any responsibility for like fucking poverty, lack of housing, CIA and fucking drug money. Oh, did that just slip out?
I mean, things that happen under a variety of Democratic and Republican regimes before Trump.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's easy to pin this all on Trump.
No, I'm not pinning it all on him, but I am.
He's working with a legacy here as well.
Well, yeah, he is. But you know what?
Mr. Hope Obama couldn't rectify this legacy.
No, absolutely not. I don't. Honestly, my prediction is he will not get reelected. He will not get reelected, but he will also. This is my prediction, people. Are you listening? He will not, says the guy dressed like a member of the fucking Boogaloo.
Yeah, why do you look like a Proud Boy? I mean, I'm glad you're a man. You were a boy. It's okay to be proud.
I told you.
You are a proud boy.
I told you. I am pissed off that those motherfuckers fucked it all up for middle-aged white men to wear Hawaiian shirts.
I think you can wear Hawaiian shirts. You pull it off.
No, you can't because you just look like a fucking Boogaloo boy.
I don't think so.
I'm surprised I didn't get pulled over on the way driving over here. I was half expecting it. Anyways.
But let's hear your Trump prediction.
My prediction is he will not win the election. However, he will also not accept the results, and he will refuse to leave the office. Literally fucking refuse to leave the office. And then what it's going to do is it's going to split everybody. Because there's people who are going to go, well, fuck him, send in federal troops on his ass and haul his sorry gold-brickin' bone-spur ass out of the Oval Office. And then there's going to be other people who are going to go, I don't know what to do. Because what do you do when this has never happened? A president has never said, I'm not going. So then all this shit is going to come to a head on top of COVID, which there's going to be another second wave, big, huge spike. It's going to be...
The wave never subsided in the United States. It's still
fucking
building.
Fucking insanity.
You think there's going to be ground level violence?
Yes. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a civil war, only not like the first one. The first one was very... straightforward, split down the middle,
this
slavery, anti-slavery.
This one is going to be hard to make
sense
of. This
is going to be like crazy fucking guys in Hawaiian shirts running around with guns. Going to be the not fucking around coalition militias out there. Then there's going to be people who are going to be just taking advantage of the chaos, just your regular run-of-the-mill criminals.
Dirtbags.
Yeah, and it's going to be insane.
Okay. I would agree with you, Glenn. If that election took place today... I think that's what would happen. That I mean, I don't know if that's what will happen, but...
How is it going to be much different in November?
That's a long time right now, especially with a time dilation effect of COVID time. A lot can happen.
It's going to get crazier.
And I will present you with one thing.
Okay.
We talked about this before the show.
All right.
UFOs.
Oh, that's right.
We're not, and this is, see here, that's years.
That's the only thing that's going to save us.
Do you hear Glenn's, do you see Glenn's laugh? That's years of counterintelligence and psyops, where the issue of UFOs is brought up and people laugh because it's a joke. But the Senate Intelligence Committee recently put forward a bill and passed it.
Uh-huh.
That demands the U.S. military and intelligence agencies release everything that they have on UFOs. Because recently it has come to light that there are aerial incursions over U.S. military operations and sites that they cannot account for. Mm-hmm. And they don't appear to be Russian or Chinese, because these vehicles perform in ways well beyond any human technology. There's a piece written by Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane in the New York Times that mm-hmm. outlines this. 180 days. So in 180 days, reportedly, we're going to hear some shit. That brings us into October, the height of election time. Trump's also laying track with his comments a couple weeks ago about, I know all about Roswell.
So you think
I know all about Roswell. I'm just saying, if something like this comes out, it's the only issue that has the potential to blow up and make everything that we are looking at right now insignificant.
So I know,
and if Trump wants to take the narrative of being the white hat, which so many of these fucking QAnon lunatics believe, this is a perfect issue to do it. I'm fucking exposing the deep state cabal. I'm releasing one of the state's deepest fucking secrets, because this is Marco Rubio who's pushing this. He's on the news right now pushing this issue as well. We need to investigate this issue. We don't know what it is. It may be Chinese. It may be Russian. But everyone knows, probably not.
Oh, my God.
UFOs.
So if you've just tuned in,
the world just is crazy enough right now for something like this to happen.
That would be insane.
My fingers are crossed.
A reality TV star who's almost started a race war in charge of a country with the most nuclear weapons on the entire face of the fucking planet, and then he just overshadows everything with, it was the aliens' fault.
Or there are aliens.
Harsh, phone fucking home. Listen, thank you all very much.
I will be proven right. My psychiatrist will be proven wrong. They tried to fucking put needles in me to give me these antipsychotics last week. I fucking refused.
Good for you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for stopping by, people. I can't tell you how much fun I've had mm-hmm. on this particular episode. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's only going to get weirder. It's going to get crazier. Please stop by. You can catch us on Podbean, where you can follow us, especially if you're from Chile. You can also catch us on Spotify or Google Podcasts. Some of us, not naming names, are still trying to figure out the fucking Apple bullshit.
Fuck you, Apple.
Yeah, Apple. Anyways, we're never getting on now.
If you want to support us financially, hit us up on Patreon.
Yeah, there's no such thing. So, yeah.
But there will be after this podcast.
Please, check it out. Follow us. You can also catch our smiling faces and what we look like in person on our YouTube channel, Wallace Hartley Presents.
And just want to leave you guys with this.
Yeah.
I love Jews. I love Ukrainians. I love white people. I love all people. You're all people. You're beautiful. We're brothers and sisters in this planet. Take care of each other.
He's saying that because he's wearing that shirt, Hindus for Trump. And that's a very Hindu thing to say. Sorry, was that racist? Shit.
Oh, man.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. You guys are awesome. And remember,
don't be a dick.